Cape Talk DIY.
Right, we'll leave the pizza conversation for after two because I do want us to get maximum time with my guest standing by to talk to us about appliances, how to care for them to ensure optimal functioning and longevity, and how to choose the right one for your specific needs. We are looking today to the kitchen and talking about our ovens and hobs and extractors and everything you need to know about choosing one and then looking after it to get maximum use and efficiency out of it. Always a pleasure to have Margaret Hirsch with us, CEO at Hirsch's chain of appliance stores. Margaret, thanks for joining us again. Lovely to have you back again.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Just a reminder to listeners, if you've got a question about your hob or oven and extractor, give us a call on 021-446-0567. You can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 or send an SMS to 31567. Right, Margaret, these can be one of the bigger purchases in the kitchen. The big question is, how long should we expect this kind of appliance to last?
Well, it depends on how often you use it. I get some ladies who are baking for a living and that oven's going. My friend Vanessa, she just cooks all day, every day. That oven's going from 7 in the morning till 10 at night.
Yeah.
And then you get other people who just heat the odd thing up. So it's quite difficult to say. The nice thing about ovens and hobs is in most towns, by law, it's compulsory to have an oven and hob in your kitchen when you buy a house. So we sell lots and lots and lots to all the developers because they've got to have an oven hob. And I always recommend the extractor because I work in ladies' kitchens all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you go in the kitchen, you can literally run your fingernail up the wall and scrape the fat off those tiles if you don't have an extractor. So it's really important to have that extractor to take all that sticky gunge out. And you can't help it because the fat goes up as you're cooking.
Yeah.
So let's start at the top and start with the extractor. And so it's really important to have a good extractor in there. And there's two kinds, but you have the ones with a foam filter, which you have if you've got an electric stove. But if you've got a gas stove, you've got to have one with a metal filter, which you can literally just take out, wash, and put back again. So they work incredibly well.
Okay, that's really important to know. So if you have a gas stove in particular, you've got to know that you need to take out that metal filter and clean it. How regularly, Margaret?
Yes. And there again, depends how much fat you use when you're cooking. I take mine out once a week because I do cook a lot. And some people who don't cook that often, once a month, okay. And also with extractors, there's two kinds of extractors. You can either extract that the air blows through a charcoal filter and back into the kitchen, or you can blow it outside. Obviously, I'm blowing it outside first prize, but if you're in a flat or somebody else's house, you can't go knocking holes in the wall.
Yeah.
So, those are your two options for extractors. And there are different kinds. Some go under the counter, under the cupboards on top. Some go are downdraft extractors, so they suck it out like that. And some go through into the ceiling. So there are lots of different ways of extracting. And I always say to people, you've got to extract. Nobody wants to walk into your house and smell the food cooking.
Yeah.
So it's so important. Then there's chat about hobs. There are different kinds of hobs. There's solid plate hobs. There are glass hobs. There are induction hobs. And there are gas hobs. And even in those, there are different categories. You know, with the gas, you get gas on glass, gas on stainless, gas with metal grids, gas with cast iron grids. So there's lots and lots of to choose from. And we have the biggest range, and we've got everything that you can possibly think of, as well as what we call combi sets, which you can integrate and have like two solid plates, two glass plates, and two gas hobs. You know,
yeah.
So you can literally make your own combination of what you want to use.
That's what I've done. I've got two electric glass plates and two gas plates. I'll confess, I only ever use the gas plates, but I do have the option, if we run out of gas, to turn on the electricity.
I always say it's like your security blanket, like your duty blanket when you're a child. You're going to hang on to those plates because you know them.
Yeah.
But once you've got gas, I don't think you'll ever go back to cook on a solid plate.
I agree completely. I'm also going to say from personal experience, that issue of the extractor working efficiently is one I can speak to because mine is currently not working well. And in the middle of the Cape Town winter in the freezing cold, I'm having to open the back door to get the kitchen smelling fresh every night. So I have the choice of being fresh smelling and freezing or the opposite, and it's not fun.
An extractor is very easy to fix. If the fan's working, it's working. If it's not, you just phone us, we've put a new fan in. But basically all it is the fan and of course the filter. So you'll probably find if you open it up, you might have the old-fashioned cloth filter, which you can wash a couple of times, but they're quite cheap. They're about $100 and you can just, that'll make two filters. So you can just put a new one in. We have them in stock at all times.
Okay.
So you can put a clean filter in and it should work fine. If the fan's not working, just phone up and they'll send a man to fix it for you.
Thanks,
so
Margaret.
You don't have to do that anymore.
Okay, good to know. Right, we've spoken about the extractor and the hob. Let's just, before we leave the hobs, the induction hob is one that I think probably people are least familiar with. Tell us a little bit more about that option.
Well, induction hobs are just something completely new. But once you've got an induction hob, it's the speed of gas without the, you know, it uses very little electricity because it works on magnets. It's actually, the magnets go together. And I do a lovely demonstration where I have a frying pan chopped in half and I put it on the hob and I break an egg onto the middle of the frying pan and the half that's on the pan cooks and the half that runs onto the hob doesn't cook. It doesn't get hot at all. So it's quite a different type of way of cooking. But once you're used to induction, you really will never go back to an old-fashioned plate because it's so quick, it's so instant, it's so clean, it's a lovely way to cook. And, you know, with hobs, cleaning them is the most important thing, and you need to clean, especially if you've got a glass hob, don't cook that fat on and let it burn on because then it makes marks and looks like. If you keep it clean from day one, and we sell wonderful cleaners, you literally, when you're just wiping down your draining board, when you finish doing the dishes, just wipe that hob and it will always stay perfect. And my personal favorite is the gas on glass because, you know, gas on glass is wonderful. You literally lift those little grids up, I spray Windoline on it, give it a wipe, and it's like brand spanking new all the time.
So clean with Windoline, also a good note. I'm taking copious notes in the background here. Just going back to induction for a second, a lot of people get confused about the kind of pots you can use because you do have to have a specific kind of pot to use in an induction hob,
don't you? Yeah, you cannot use the old-fashioned aluminium pots, which you really don't want to because it's been proved that they are so carcinogenic. They're horrible and they really do... are not good for your health. So you should have a good stainless steel pot, and they should all be induction. But if you're not sure, those of us are like, we wear a name badge with a magnet on it. You literally take the magnet, and if it sticks on the pot, you can use it on induction. And if it doesn't stick on the pot, you don't use that pot. But you'll find that probably 90% of your pots will work.
Okay, good tip. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to the oven. Cleaning the oven can be an absolute mission. So any advice?
Well, you know, I always say to ladies, from day one, when you get this new oven, just wipe it out and it will always stay clean. It only gets dirty when you bake the dirt onto it. So most ovens today have got a special sort of ceramic inside where you can wipe it out and it comes clean. Some of them have got the special cleaning units where it gets very, very hot and it burns all the dirt out and it looks like a piece of cigarette ash on the bottom.
Yes.
But most ovens, if you clean them every time you use them, while they're still warm, just take a cloth of soapy water and wipe them out and get those bits of grime off. They will always stay looking good. But the minute you leave it and it's dirty and you put it on the next time and you bake that dirt on, that's when you've got a problem. But what we use a lot is we sell those cleaners for the bras, and that bra cleaner that we've got with all our Weber bras and all our green egg bras are, you just take that bra cleaner and you spray it on the inside of the oven. It comes out really, really, it's quick. It bubbles the dirt off and you can wipe it out and it looks clean in no time,
Okay, thanks for the tip. A WhatsApp question from one of our listeners asking whether one can put the aluminium filters from the extractor fan in the dishwasher.
Yes, you can. All those dishwasher filters, all those extractor filters are dishwasher proof. You literally take them out, put them in the dishwasher, let them get clean, and you put them straight back up. You know, very easy to do.
Okay. For those who might have tuned in late, we're chatting to Margaret Hirsch, the CEO at Hirsch's chain of appliance stores, and specifically looking today at extractor fans, hobs, and ovens. If you've got a question, send a voice note to 072-567-1567, or you can call us on 021-446-0567. Margaret, let's talk a little bit about what happens with these particular appliances in times of load shedding. Is there anything to be mindful of that needs to be turned off, switched back on, etc., if the power goes out?
When the power goes out, especially if you've got a gas hob, obviously the electric ignition won't work. And that happened to me recently where I was putting the hob on. Why won't this work? Oh, my gosh, it's electric ignition.
Yeah.
But you could, with all of them, you can light them with a match. I've got the fire lighter next to mine just in case. And so you know, those little, almost like a cigarette lighter, but it's longer. And you just use that to light it. So you can always light your gas hob, even if there's load shedding. When it comes to ovens, with gas ovens and electric ovens, I find my ladies who have grown up in England and are used to a gas oven can bake beautifully in a gas oven. But for us South Africans that have not grown up with gas ovens, please get an electric oven, because what happens is you buy the gas oven and then you're struggling, ask me to come in and I have to struggle as well. With the electric oven, it's exactly the same as your ordinary oven. It bakes beautifully, it cooks beautifully. The gas ovens roast fantastically, but with baking, there is an art to knowing exactly how to bake in those gas ovens. So unless you're sure of yourself, just get yourself an electric oven and a gas top. That's what I always recommend.
Okay.
And then let's go to the built-in ones. Built-in sizes of those ovens. There's lots of different sizes, from a 45 centimeter. Most of them are 60 centimeter, but you can get the G5 and the Grundig, which are now 75 centimeter across. And then, of course, the 90-centimeter ovens, which take two chickens across on their rotisserie. Nice. They're mostly sperma fan, which you don't need a rotisserie and sperma fan, although it does come out really nice. Meg do one with both. So, you know, you'll choose what you want. The Smeg ovens have a double thermo fan, so you don't have to move your cooking around. I find with a DeFi oven, I've got to turn my cake halfway through the cooking, which is a little bit, you've got to practice that a bit to get it right. So there's a knack with every oven, and I always tell all my ladies, when you take that new oven home, it's like having a new baby, you've got to get used to it for a bit, but once you've got it, you'll never change it. So just practice a little bit. I always use scones as a good guideline to practice on, because your basic scone recipe, 10 minutes, and it should be fine. If it isn't, you know you've got to add a bit more time, and if it's not, you've got to take off a bit less time. But once you get used to it, those ovens are perfect. I can cook in any oven and I can get a fabulous result. So yeah,
okay,
it's just practice.
Speaking of a thermofan oven, somebody's asked if you can just explain a little bit about how they actually work.
Well, with an ordinary oven, it's the grill elements at the top, the bake elements at the bottom. They both come on. The oven gets hot. The grill will switch off, or it will burn, and it will maintain the oven temperature. And thermofan, by the way, is patented to DeFi. So with the other ones, you've got to call them fan-assisted ovens. But with a fan oven, the fan is at the back. It's a small, round element that uses less electricity, and the fan actually blows the hot air right around over all the food. There's a knack to it as well, because to cook properly in that, you've got to leave all your baking trays in, even if you've only putting one thing into the oven. But the beauty of having a fan-assisted oven is you can, my specialty is meringues, and I can make, you know, trays and trays of meringues in the oven, and it's very, very quick, and I can do a whole lot all at once. If you do biscuits, you know, when you get in the baking mood, don't just bake one cake, bake half a dozen, and you can chuck them all into that big oven and let them all bake at the same time, and then you put them in the freezer, so when friends come around, you don't have to start, oh my God, I haven't got anything to give you.
Just whip something out the freezer.
Take out the freezer, because most cakes freeze beautifully. Rip the cake out the freezer, just let it defrost, and it'll look like you just baked it. Sure.
Okay, nice tip. Thank you. Let's go back to the glass tops. As you've told us, the plan A is clean as you go and don't let anything accumulate. But if you have let it accumulate, the question on the WhatsApp is, how do you clean glass tops which have burnt in dirt?
Okay, we do sell a special glass top cleaner. It looks like, and if you haven't got any, you can use something like Brasso, because it goes on like, you know, Brasso liquid, it all goes white, and then you'll see those dirty marks, and then you get a scrape that usually comes free with the hob when you buy it, and you can scrape the dirt off. You literally have to scrape it off, and it sort of goes a bit against the grain, because you're using a razor blade on the glass, but the glass is tougher than the razor blade. So you scrape the dirt off, you put the smooth top up cleaner on, you shine it off, almost like, as they with Brasso, as if you're shining something like Brasso or silver, and that shine will come up on your hob and it'll look like brand new again. Just take a bit of elbow grease, and I always have to be careful when I say that, because somebody asks me where they buy elbow grease, but I explain to them that just you got to rub like hell and it does come off, and you can get it looking brand new again. If you have scratches on it, Brasso actually works hangable well. You just put Brasso on, leave it on overnight, and the next morning you rub like hell, and those scratches will definitely be much better.
Okay, thank you so much. I think we can squeeze in one last question. Jenny on the SMS line is looking for tips on cleaning the glass door on her oven. She says, I have an Elba gas stove with an electric oven, and I have white marks that almost look like steam marks. I've tried everything and nothing gets them off.
Okay, you've got to open it up. If she can't do it herself, we'll come and do it for her. You literally unscrew it. You've got to take it off. I would say put a blanket down. Take the glass door. The whole door will actually unhook off the main body of the stove. You take it off, you unscrew the glass. There's usually three sheets of glass in there. You clean them again. I'm a great Windoline fan, and I Windoline everything. So just clean it with Windoline and put all the glass back together, put the screws back in, hook the door on, and it'll look like brand new again. If you haven't got a handy husband or significant other or someone to help you, then you phone us and we come do it for you.
Right, and if you'd like to find your closest Hersh's branch, remind us which website to visit, Margaret.
It's www.hersh's.co.za, or you can inbox me on Margaret Hersh on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. I'm on it. Just send me an inbox. I'm on my social media all the time, and I'll send somebody around to help you. Also, with cooking tips, if you get stuck and you want to do something you're not sure, if you're converting something from an oven recipe to a microwave recipe, you can send and ask me as well. I do all the different baking trays. I've got all the different mixing bowls. I know which mixers to use. So any queries that you've got, you can inbox me anytime. I'm more than happy to help.
Margaret, we so appreciate your help this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us on the show again, and we'll chat again soon, I hope. Margaret Hirsch, CEO at Hirsch's, spelled H-I-R-S-C-H-S. If you're looking for their website, hirschs.co.za.